Thank you, Shirley, Tysia. Thank you for honoring us with those songs. And I know two people in the audience that are especially happy that you sang today. Well, thank you for being here, for joining with us for this celebration of Mother's Day. We're so happy you're here. Welcome all the guests, all the family. It's good to see the families together and celebrating this wonderful day of Mother's Day. In preparation for Mother's Day, I had a little bit of trouble deciding exactly how I wanted to approach this. I mean, there's plenty of stories of mothers in the Bible, so you have a lot of information to cover. So what did we want to get at? Well, I think one of the most popular stories about motherhood would be Hannah from the Old Testament. So 1 Samuel chapter 1 is our text this morning. And since I chose Hannah, the title of the sermon is going to be Motherhood is a Call to Suffer or to Sacrifice. Motherhood is a call to sacrifice or to suffer. That may be a downer. That may seem to be a depressing type of title. But I think as we go through this, we will see that this is liberating. This is a special call to moms. So let's look at what Hannah, the story of Hannah. I'm just going to summarize this, and we're going to look at a couple of the verses just to help with time. We realize that Hannah comes along at a period of time when Israel is in crisis. There is not a word from the Lord. We have Eli as the chief priest, and he has received the word of the Lord, but the Lord has somewhat departed from him because of his family state. And the Lord has not been speaking to the nation of Israel. And Hannah, being the second wife of this Israelite man, who you can see his name, Elkanah, in the book, but he doesn't play a huge role in this story. But we see that Hannah is a dear wife to him, and that his other wife, Phinehas, has berated her because she has not had children. He has bestowed on her blessing upon blessing upon blessing. The story goes that as they go to the temple to make their sacrifices, to worship the Lord, Elkanah distributes the sacrifices both to Phinehas and to Hannah. And Hannah receives twice the portion because he knows that in her heart she is in turmoil because of the fact she does not have a child. She's been in turmoil. She's prayed to the Lord. She's beseeched him. She's asked for his blessing upon her in the way of having children. And we see that this time it is special. She goes and she fasts. She's not eaten. Her heart is exceptionally troubled. She goes to the temple and she does her sacrifice, but she stays much longer. And she's in the temple and she's praying and she's beseeching the Lord and she's asking him to bless her with a child. And she's at the point where Eli finds her. And she is praying in her heart, pouring her heart to the Lord. Her mouth is moving, but no sound is coming out. And Eli perceives that she is drunk. Now, this is not the only time in the Bible where the Lord is descended upon people and they're pouring out their spirits in such a way that people think they're drunk. This happened in Acts chapter 2 when the Spirit of God descended upon the church and the Lord blessed them in such a way that the people outside the church decided that they were drunk, much as Eli thought that Hannah was drunk at this time. And we realize that Eli comes up to her and kind of chastises her. Tells her, why are you drunk? You need to get away from this strong drink, this alcohol that is controlling you. You need to leave it behind. Repent, woman. She tells Eli, you've got it all wrong. He says, I'm not drunk. I'm not controlled by strong drink. My heart is so vexed and I desire a child so much that I'm pouring my heart out to God. You know, at this time, she makes a vow. She makes a vow, and I'll read this in verse 11. She vowed to the Lord, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." Hannah had come to the point in her life that she realizes that she wants a son so much that she may have made him the God of her life. And in her pleading for the Lord for a child, she tells him that, "Lord, even if you give me one, I am going to give him back to you. I know that you will bless in this way, and if you do, I will give him back." Eli, not knowing the depth of her prayer, sends her away and says, "Woman, I pray that the Lord will bless you and grant your request." Just a few months later, Hannah starts to grow with child. She has the blessing from the Lord, and the Lord has blessed her with a child, and we have Samuel. And it is through this child who this mother gave back to the Lord, who ministered in the temple all of his days, we have in this child the person who God has chosen to voice his message to Israel. It was not a prophet in the land, but for Samuel. The Lord chose this blessed child. So with this story, moms, embrace your call to sacrifice. And children, live in light of that sacrifice. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we look at this story and as we look at the depth of the truths that are here, I pray, Lord, that you will encourage our hearts. Lord, that we would see that to be a mom is a call to sacrifice. And Lord, to be children, all of us have mothers. Lord, I pray that we would honor that sacrifice. Father, I pray that we would see that this sacrifice is right in line with your heart and the fact that you sent your son to sacrifice it all for us. Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts at this time. Implant in us the truth from your word that we may live in light of these truths. Bless us in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Moms, embrace your call to sacrifice. And children, honor that sacrifice. Live in light of your mother's sacrifice. My first point is, understand motherhood is a blessing from the Lord. Motherhood is a blessing from the Lord. We see in verses 7 and 8 of this passage, "So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used, she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more than 10 sons?'" Skip down to verse 10. "She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give to him to the Lord all the days of his life. And no razor shall touch his head.'" And now verse 20. "And in due time Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, 'I have asked for him from the Lord.'" We have in these verses, from Hannah's own mouth, realizing that the fruit of the womb is a blessing from the Lord. Realizing that God Himself had closed Hannah's womb. She knew better than any person that she could not manufacture a child. The Lord has to provide that. We know from Psalms that God Himself knits together in the mother's womb the child. The children are a special blessing from the Lord. Hannah knew this, and she was beseeching the Lord. She was asking the Lord. She was desiring the Lord for this child. She went even as far as to offer this plea. O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me, and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. Hannah realized that the blessing was from the Lord, but she also realized that this was a blessing to be returned to the Lord. And then in verse 20, once she had received this son whom she had asked of the Lord to, we realized that she was prepared to give him back. Hannah understood that children were a blessing from the Lord. Scripture affirms that children are a blessing from the Lord. Genesis chapter 21 tells us about Isaac, the promise of Abraham. And we realize from that passage that all children are a blessing from the Lord. God gives the blessing. Isaac, the blessed child of promise. Turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse 3, sums up the point of Scripture in the fact that children are a blessing from the Lord. Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Hannah knew this. Hannah knew that the Lord's blessing is given through children. Hannah knew this at her heart, and she desired this blessing from the Lord, and she was asking the Father for it. But Hannah also realized that children are a stewardship. Children are given as a blessing from the Lord, and children should be offered back to the Lord. We know from the beginning that God commanded Adam and Eve to go forth and multiply, to fill the earth. We know that God commanded this, and He desires for this. But we also see from the story that Hannah realized that lack of children may also be from the Lord. The lack of children may also be from the Lord. In verses 5 and 6, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. Here we see twice Hannah coming from Hannah's mouth the fact that she realized that God had closed her womb. She realized that it was God who had done this to her. God can provide through the blessing of children, and God had chosen not to do this to Hannah. She realized that it was in the Lord's hands. The lack of children may also be from the Lord. Hannah did not realize that she was going to be a mother of promise. As Sarah did not realize at the beginning of her infertility that she was going to be a mother of promise with Isaac. But Hannah had to trust that the Lord had a purpose in her not having children. Mothers should thank the Lord for the blessing of children, but they should also encourage those women around them who have not experienced this blessing yet or will not experience this blessing. Hannah realized that the blessing of children was from the Lord. But folks, we realize that there are people that will not have this blessing. They may receive this blessing through other means, through means that God has sanctioned through adoption, which was given through the Old Testament. God intentionally provided for orphans through adoptive parents. And there may be mothers who will never have their children, but will mother the children in their communities. They will be mothers to those who may have a physical mother, but their mother may not act like a mom. May not be a mom. They may be able to reach out and be that blessing to those. So mothers should realize that the Lord has blessed them with their children. I know that you mothers know that this is true. That the Lord blesses through His children. And those of you who may be in this congregation who haven't had that blessing of children yet, the Lord may still have that in store for you. Sarah had to wait a long time. Hannah had to wait a long time. God had purposes in this. But it may not be that you have maternal children. The Lord may purpose for you to be a mother to the motherless, to those who don't have children, or those who don't have mothers. Receive the blessing of the Lord. Understand motherhood is a blessing from the Lord. Also, follow Hannah in the example of being a mother. Folks, Hannah realized that motherhood, parenthood, is a stewardship. And Hannah realized this, and she realized that she probably had made an idol of this desire to have children. She realized that she had put this before her, and she had gone to the temple, and she was pouring her heart out to the Lord. And out of this comes a promise. She realizes that the Lord is the most important. And she vows in verse 11, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And no razor shall touch his head." Hannah realized that her child was not to be an idol, but was to be a blessing to all. She realized that the Lord would have to bless her, and she is pleading with the Lord and asking, "Lord, I realize that I may have made an idol out of this desired son, and to counter that, I will give him back to you. I will be his mother, but he will serve in the temple all of his days." We see this because she is intending to make a Nazarite vow out of this. She says that no razor shall touch his head. If you turn back to Leviticus, you will see all of the regulations for a Nazarite, one in which the most important is that a razor would not touch their head. And we see that a Nazarite is devoted to the Lord. She is going to devote this child to the Lord. Mothers, be willing to give your children back to the Lord for His service. Desire for your children to be active in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This giving back of your children to the Lord is a call for them to be active in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that doesn't just mean full-time Christian service. But I pray that the Lord would raise up pastors, missionaries, pastors' wives out of the crop of children from Brushy Fork Baptist Church. But that is not the only service of ministry. We all are called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mothers should desire to raise their children so that they will be active in proclaiming the name of Jesus to those that they encounter. Desire for your children to be active in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Hannah desired this. Look at verse 28. This is Hannah's words. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. Think of the anguish that Hannah had to come to reach this point, realizing that she desired a son more than anything, and yet she is willing to give him back to the Lord's service. This is a call that some moms may have to make. When your child is called to the mission field, that may mean that you're not going to see him for a while. That the Lord is going to keep them. They're going to have to be left in the Lord's hands. Hannah realized this, and she was willing to leave this in the Lord's hands. This blessed son, Samuel. Not only desire, but be willing to love your children enough to give them to the Lord. Look at verses 27 and 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. Hannah realized that she had made a vow. And she loved Samuel so much that she was not going to go back on that vow. She was going to give him to the Lord because she realized that the Lord had blessed her with this promised son. Folks, she loved Samuel enough to give him back to the Lord. This highlights the fact that parents are stewards of a gift. That gift is children. We see this displayed throughout many stories. Hannah being one, Elizabeth in the New Testament, John the Baptist's mother, another. We see Mary, the mother of Jesus. We see the Old Testament law in Deuteronomy 4 through 9 through 10, that children are a gift from God, but parents are stewards of this gift to be offered back to the Lord. So in thinking about this, motherhood is a call to sacrifice. Hannah realized that motherhood was a call to sacrifice. And that was the sacrifice of her own children. Not brooding over them, not keeping them from the Lord's work, but delivering them over to the Lord for whatever He had in store for them. So follow Hannah's example. Deliver your children to the service of the Lord. And this can happen at any time. Deliver your children to the Lord's calling. God has called mothers to be that mother that loves so much that she sees the big picture. She sees the fact that those children are from the Lord, a blessing from Him. Deliver them back to the Lord. Now, children, live in light of your mother's sacrifice. Understand that your mother has sacrificed in such a way. If we look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 11, we will see this phrase. And the boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli the priest. We see that Samuel was raised in the temple. We see that Samuel didn't get to see his mom that much. Samuel was raised in the temple. But yet we have two phrases in this story that point us to the fact that Samuel was not begrudging of his mother for delivering him over to the service of the Lord. Samuel realized that his mother had made a vow and he wanted her to honor that vow. And he willingly subjected himself to being apart from her and ministered to the Lord. And he ministered beside the priest Eli. Samuel did not resist this call. Samuel understood the importance of his mother's sacrifice. Samuel lived in light of his mother's sacrifice. Seek to make yourselves available to the Lord as Samuel did in chapter 3, verse 10. In chapter 3, verse 10 reads, And the Lord came and stood calling at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do things in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." Samuel heard the word of the Lord and he responded. Samuel made himself available to the Lord. And Samuel honored his mother by serving the Lord. Samuel took this call from God, and he was the voice to this nation. He told Israel words they did not want to hear. He honored his mother by serving the Lord. My question today is, am I honoring my mother through the service of the Lord? Are we honoring our mothers through the service of the Lord? How can we do this? How can we do this better? I can think of no better reason or no better way than asking the Lord to revive us. Asking the Lord to intensify our desire for Him. Revival, asking the Lord to His Spirit to descend upon us and revive our life, to fully commit to His service, to recognize our mother's sacrifice, and to commit to the Lord's service, whether that be as a lay person who sits in the pews and hears the Word and seeks to minister to those who they come in contact with, or delivering oneself up to the call of the Lord. Revival must take place. In Acts chapter 19, 18 through 20, we don't have time to turn there, but you will see a picture of a marvelous revival. We see people who have been touched by the Lord, Christians who have come to know the Lord, realizing that they have sin in their lives, and they cast those things out. They take their books that are evil and they put them in a pile and they burn them. They take those things in their life that have separated them from the Lord, that are not honoring to the Lord and to their mothers, and they take them and they burn them. So how can we follow this example? We must confess our sins in the presence of the Lord. Hosea 5:15 tells us to confess our sins to the Lord, and He will save us. We must not only confess, but we must pray and ask the Lord for revival. Leviticus chapter 26, 40 through 42 tells of a time in which Israel will need reviving. It tells them to reach out and ask the Lord to revive them. But not only that, we must fast for revival. Nehemiah 9, verses 1 and 2 tells us about Israel. They were desiring for the Lord to descend in His presence to be among them. They were asking for revival in their land. And they called the whole nation to fast. Folks, we have revival next week. Sunday starts our revival service, and I pray that we will use this service, that we will honor our mothers, and we will honor their sacrifice by seeking the Lord. And I'm going to call us to fast Tuesday, actually Monday night, 11 or 12 o'clock, cut off the food intake. And I'm going to ask us to fast for two meals, breakfast and lunch. Give up two meals and petition the Lord. Seek the Lord in prayer. Breakfast and lunch. Seek the Lord in prayer and ask for revival. Pray for our speaker. Pray for our moms. Pray for ourselves that we can be the people God has called us to be. Tuesday morning and Tuesday afternoon, I would pray that we would be people spent in revival, spent in fasting and praying for the Lord in revival. And we must also seek the Lord. Now I recognize that in this call to fast, that there may be diabetics and people in this room that cannot fast. I encourage you to call your doctor. If you have a medical reason that would prevent you from fasting, I pray that you would call your doctor and ask him what you can do. Whether that's giving up food that tastes good, and just taking in food that's going to get you by and using that time that you would be eating for revival. But folks, I cannot think of a better way to honor our mothers than to seek for the Lord's purpose in our lives. Why? Point number four. Because we are to reach for the prize of eternity. Folks, we realize that this life is a fleeting and short thing. We realize that this life is small in comparison to what is to come. And folks, if we do not make God the center, if we do not make God everything, then we are going to miss the boat. If we want to have a blessed relationship with our mother on this earth and for eternity to come, we've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And to do that, we've got to make Him the center of our life. Folks, I pray that this revival would center us around Christ. That we would be better moms, that we would be better children, that we would be better dads because of what the Lord is going to do in our presence, realizing that this momentary time of sacrifice points to a much longer time of delight with our children. Folks, if we do this, if moms embrace their call to sacrifice, and if children live in light of that call, then the sacrifice that both make will not feel like sacrifices. If you went back, if we could ask Hannah and Samuel if it felt like sacrifice what they did, they would tell us no, because they have everything right now. They're with the Lord in glory. And this momentary sacrifice on this earth will not compare to what is promised in heaven. Look, folks, may we take this day and honor our mothers, and may we take this day to choose to live in honor of our mothers by dedicating our lives to the Lord, by asking Him to revive us. Let's confess, let's pray, let's fast, let's seek the Lord. Mothers, embrace your call to sacrifice. Children, live in light of that call. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word, and I thank You for this message, and I thank You that You have called us. Lord, You have asked us to do things that are not exactly easy. Lord, it is not easy for a parent to deliver up their child to the Lord's service. Father, it is not easy to live a life of sacrifice. But You have called us as Your children to do this. Lord, You have given us example in the person of Jesus Christ, who gave it all for us, who died on an old rugged cross. I pray, Lord, that we would see this call to sacrifice as just a short period of time, that we can honor You and live as Your Son has called us to live, that we might spend eternity in heaven. Lord, with blessings we cannot understand, Lord, with a life that we cannot even picture, but will be more amazing than we can even imagine. Lord, we thank You for this. Lord, I pray that we would take this call, that we would take this, and Lord, that we would have moms in this room. I know we have moms that have sacrificed. And I know we have moms that are going to continue to sacrifice. Help us sacrifice. And Lord, I pray that we would all be children that live in light of that sacrifice of our moms. That we would seek You first in Your will for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.